sermon, we will sing our Amen song without further announcement of Psalm 56, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. May God bless the preaching of His word. Beloved congregation of Jesus Christ, it's the end of the year. 2021 is nearly gone. 2022 is almost here. It's mere hours away. Now, on the verge of a new year, many of us may feel a sense of optimism. We feel as though we have a clean slate. All the mistakes of the past year are behind us, and within hours, we have this chance to start over again. New year, new me, the saying goes. And there's truth to this. There is something so freeing and exciting to tear that last page off your calendar and start completely over with blank pages. We begin the year with every option and with no mistakes. And yet very quickly, that calendar will fill up. Very quickly, the calendar for 2022 will look very similar to the calendar for 2021. There will be many things that remain the same. What will be the same in 2022 as it was in 2021? Well, this year coming up, as in every year, there will be day and there will be night. 365 sunrises, 365 sunsets. There will be four seasons: winter, spring, summer, and fall. There will be 52 Sundays where you will hear the gospel preached, whether powerfully or weakly, either boldly or with great fear and trembling, but the gospel will go out. There will be baptisms this year. In 2022, we hope to welcome new covenant children into the world, born in the usual way, and then born again in baptism. We will have new members in the church, students and adults professing their faith. We will celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And there will be blessings. There will be blessings that are spoken over you. The two hands raised from the pulpit with the words of Numbers chapter 6. There will be a lot this upcoming year that will stay the same. But what do all of these things have in common? Well, each and every one of these examples that I gave, it speaks to the faithfulness of our God. Light and darkness will continue since God made it that way on the first day of creation. As long as this earth remains, there will be seasons. God has declared it, and so it will be. The message of the gospel, the message of baptisms, professions of faith, the Lord's Supper, and the benedictions proclaimed over you, the message of all of these is the faithfulness of God. As much as there will be new and exciting adventures for all of us, a chance to do things we've never done before, we do so on the solid foundation of our God's faithfulness. To use a metaphor here, we can change things up in the house, but we desire a firm and solid foundation. And this we have in our God. In this next year and always, God will continue to bless His people. And we'll see that this evening in 3 points. We see that God will bless His people with His keeping, with His caring, and with His claim. And the words of the blessing from Numbers, or text this evening, they're words that are probably very familiar to you. Maybe the only familiar words in the entire book of Numbers. It's not necessarily a favorite to read around the table. But in the morning or in the afternoon, the worship services here, you would hear these words proclaimed over you. But what do they really mean? Well, this blessing, it's typically called the Aaronic blessing or the priestly blessing. And we can see why it has this name. Verse 22, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel.'" This blessing was given to Aaron as the first high priest of Israel and to his sons. And yet this blessing, it's not really from Aaron, is it? It's not Aaron's blessing. Even though that's what I read in this Bible here, it says Aaron's blessing. But really and truly, it's not, is it? It's not something that Aaron made up while reflecting on what the best way to teach the people was. Instead, this was given to him directly from God. It was a blessing made through Aaron, but it was from Yahweh, from the Lord. For this is a blessing given very clearly by Israel's covenant God. Each of these lines of the blessing, they start with Yahweh, don't they? Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Why is this important? Well, it's important because then it means that the blessing is something that's firm and sure. The blessing is solid. It's not something conceived of in the mind of a sinful and flawed high priest, but it's given truly by God. It is from Yahweh and is given to Yahweh. They can see that at the end of our text as well in verse 27. Aaron and his sons are but the instruments. We read, "So they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." It's important to know who is blessing the people. That's not ultimately Aaron, but it's Yahweh. And because this can get a bit lost in translation when we use the word Lord, Lord in all capitals sounds exactly the same as Lord with only a capital L. I'm going to replace Lord with Yahweh in our text because that's what it means anyways, moving forwards in the sermon. Now, before we get into the content of the blessing itself, let's briefly look at what it means to be blessed. Because being blessed is something that's so commonly said today. But what's it really all about? Well, earlier in the service, we read from the Beatitudes, a list of blessings that Jesus Christ gave us in his Sermon on the Mount. This is a well-known list to most of us, so we don't find these words surprising anymore. But listen to what is said here as if you're hearing it for the first time. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are persecuted. These are very clearly different blessings than we understand in the world. When something goes right for us, we say, "Oh, we're blessed." But being blessed in desperate circumstances, usually these two don't go together. But here they do. Here we can see the upside-down kingdom of God at work. This kingdom that flips everything on its head. Not that God's kingdom is wrong and ours is right, but truly ours is the one that is upside down and his is right side up. Being blessed, it goes hand in hand with being satisfied. Being ultimately satisfied by the things of God. It's possible for those who are given many things of this earth to look to God for their ultimate satisfaction. It is possible. Think of Abraham and Jacob, both very rich men. But it's more likely that they'll be led astray by their wealth and not depend on God for their needs. But those who are poor in earthly matters, those who are poor in spirit, those who are lacking happiness, those who are mistreated for their faith, surely they will be blessed, both now and in the end, by our God. Being blessed, it means receiving and recognizing the favor of God and being fully satisfied in it. And being blessed in the new year is what I hope and pray for all of you. Let's now examine this particular blessing of number 6. Yahweh bless you and keep you. We are a blessed people and we are a kept people. We are people kept by God. This concept, it may often be overlooked, but let's examine it together tonight. What does it mean to be kept by our God? It's a promise and a comfort right up there with God's face shining upon us, right up there with God giving us peace. First of all, being kept by God means that God has a place for us. God has a place for us in his plan. God has a place for us in his family, a place for us in his kingdom. We are a people who are kept, kept for God and kept from the forces of evil. Being kept means that we're not only allowed to stay by the side of our God always, but that this is what he desperately wants for us. Being kept by God could be demonstrated in an exchange like this. God says to us, I will be with you. And we, so very human, in our doubts and our fears, we respond, do you promise? And Yahweh replies, always. I will always be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are always, always mine. We are kept with God, and we are kept from evil. This is God's blessing over us. It's not a promise that our lives will be easy. For if you remember, an easy life is not always a blessed life. Sometimes God's blessings come to us through pain. Our God loves us too much to only give us not pain. Do you follow? The plan of our God, it's so much more than simply saving us from feeling pain. A parent who refuses to teach their child how to ride a bike because they'll get a scraped knee every once in a while. Or the parent who doesn't allow their child to go for swimming lessons because having water up your nose is unpleasant. Such a parent who prevents their children from these things isn't really showing love for their children, are they? A little discomfort for the time being, it's all worthwhile when the greater joy comes later. Biking down a hill with the wind in your hair, there's nothing more freeing or exhilarating for a child. Or swimming in the ocean, floating there with the sun warming your skin, there's nothing more relaxing. But at the same time, we have to be very careful with this truth. I have to be very careful when I preach about blessing. Because there are people who are in pain. There are people who have truly struggled this past year. And it's a cliche to tell someone who's in pain that God has a plan, that something good will come out of this. It's true, but it's not always the right time to tell them these things. You have to be sensitive to what they need. Some truths are meant to be kept for just the right time. But if there is someone deeply and truly mourning, maybe something to remind them of is that they are kept by God even in these times. Focus on their identity in Christ rather than in their circumstances. There is a certain amount of healing to be had in lament. You can be blessed and lament at the same time. If you're in mourning, if you're lamenting right now, don't think that this sermon doesn't speak to you. And even though this isn't a sermon on lament, let me just very briefly reflect with you on the theology of lament. There was a book that I read at the beginning of this past year on lament. It was a beautiful book, and it really affected me deeply. These are a few lessons that I learned. They say that to cry is human. Life begins with tears. The first sound you make when you leave the womb is a loud wail. To cry is human, but to lament is uniquely Christian. Lament is, one could say, intentional mourning. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. I'll say that again. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. Lament is something that gives voice to the strong emotions that believers feel when we encounter suffering. Lament is available to believers because we are blessed. Lament is that pathway from heartbreak to hope. And it's available because we are God's kept people. We shouldn't view lament as the opposite of blessing, but as an important element of it. And so if you are lamenting right now, that's okay. That's good. It means you're doing something right with your trouble, with your sorrow. We're given that blessing of lament when we encounter suffering, but lament isn't our final destination. Lament is always meant to lead to something else. It's always meant to lead to hope, healing, and joy. And all of this is given to us by our God because he cares for each and every one of us. That's our second point this evening. God's blessing, God's care shown through his face. This is the typical Old Testament way of showing favor and grace, especially in the Psalms. When God's face is turned away, Scripture says that despair, death, and destruction will follow. But when God's face is turned towards you, you experience his love and mercy, you will see life, and you'll see salvation. So that's why this is the next part of the blessing. Yahweh, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. These are two parallel lines. They say the same thing, but the repetition here, it gives emphasis and explores different sides of it. Let's look at Yahweh's face, first of all. Imagine if our God was here with us. Now we know, of course, that he is always here by his Holy Spirit. But imagine for a second if God came down in all of his glory, or if you were transported up into the heavenly throne room, and if you saw your resurrected, glorified, and exalted Lord Jesus Christ, still having his human body, still with his human face. How would he look at you? What expression would be on his face? Knowing whether you spent your day in prayer today or you spent your day far from him, what expression would be on Jesus' heavenly face when he's looking at you? I invite you to think about that for a moment. Imagine that. Well, if right now you're imagining any expression other than unconditional love, you have it wrong. There is no disappointment in our Lord's face, because disappointment means that you were expecting a different result and you were unpleasantly surprised. But we can never surprise God. He knows all things. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knew how you would spend your day today, and he loves you anyways. If you're imagining anger on your Lord's face, it's not true either. There's no anger in our Lord's face because you are his child. You have been washed clean in his blood. Your sins are not only hidden from his sight, but they have been blotted out. Your sins have been washed clean by the blood of your Savior shed on the cross. Your sins that might cause him anger, they don't exist anymore. That anger, that wrath that you fear that he might have, it's already been poured out. Jesus Christ, he drank the cup of God's wrath and he drank it dry. There isn't a drop left in God's cup for his people. But what there is on that face is unconditional love. What there is on that face is overwhelming grace. I don't know who here needs to hear this. Maybe it's every single one of you. But know truly and know deeply that there is enough grace in God's heart for you. Let me say that again. There is enough grace in God's heart for you. Even you. You can't outrun the love of God. You can't outsin the grace of God. On this verge of this new year, live with this confidence. This confidence and firm foundation of God's love for you. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, if you come to him, God's blessing is for you. God's grace is for you. God's peace is for you. Peace is one of those words in Scripture that's just too rich and too wonderful to be explained by a single English word. It's similar in that way to certain Dutch words. One that many of us hear around this time of the year is the Dutch word gezellig. I practice that pronunciation quite a bit. I think I got it right. I don't know much Dutch, but I do know that word. And I know that it's one of those all-encompassing words. It's a word that means cozy. It's a word that means family time, safe, wonderful, happy, and peaceful. And there isn't an English word that really captures all of those things at once. And the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, is similar to that. And for a few years, actually, I was under the impression that shalom was exactly the same as gezellig. That not only were they the same type of word, one that English can't really express, but that they actually meant the exact same thing. But there's an important difference between the two, and it can give us hope. We can see that difference in Psalm 23 in our reading this evening. Now, even though the word shalom, it's not found in the psalm, there's perhaps no better picture of it in all of Scripture. We know these words. We take great comfort from these words. And verse 1, 2, and 3 seem a lot like gezellig, don't they? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is a wonderful picture of the world as it should be. A world of coziness, of comfort. Spending time with our God face to face, safe and wonderful and peaceful. But then verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Wait a second. The valley of the shadow of death isn't gezellig. This isn't cozy. This isn't peaceful. This is terrifying. This is distressing. And it's this difference that teaches us what is different between gezellig and shalom. Gezellig is something that comes from outside of ourselves. It comes from the external circumstances. Having a really good meal with really good friends and family, sitting in front of a roaring fire, children and the grandchildren at your feet, quietly playing. But shalom. Shalom is greater. Shalom is what you can have even when the circumstances around you are difficult. Even when the circumstances are dark or even tragic. Shalom is what makes the second part of verse 4 possible. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though my circumstances should mean that I crumble to the ground under the weight of despair, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And why? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yahweh is there. Yahweh's face is turned towards you. Yahweh's countenance is shining upon you, giving you shalom. Shalom, we could say, is the privilege of belonging to God's family. Of being those that Yahweh not only keeps, but even claims as his own. That's our final point this evening. You may be a little surprised that we have a third point here, because we're done with the words of the blessing. When the blessing is pronounced over you on Sundays, when I will pronounce it at the end of this worship service, I'll stop at verse 26. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. My home congregation of Cloverdale, we then respond with our threefold amen, expressing our faith in what our God has said. Amen, it is true and certain. I believe that God has given me this blessing. And here the amen is said in your hearts, but it's still truly there. Our text, though, it continues on for one verse more. That's an important one. And so we will, very briefly, before the end, focus on verse 27. So they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Again, it's emphasized here that Yahweh is the one who is doing the blessing. I will bless them. But I would draw your attention to the first part of that verse. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel. God's blessing is not the only thing that's happening here. This blessing is not simply a blessing for the world, even though it transcends race and sex and age and culture. But this blessing is for God's people. In a very real sense, this blessing was the seal of what happened to them when they were taken out of the land of Egypt. For the Israelites, they were at a loss as to their identity. They struggled with how to identify themselves. Because for 400 years, they had been surrounded by the pagan Egyptian culture. 400 years of everything Egyptian, and yet they themselves were not Egyptian. They were slaves. constantly told for 400 years that they were other. Told for 400 years that they didn't belong. They were non-Egyptians living in Egypt. That they weren't Israelites yet. Not really. But when the God of Israel, when their covenant God Yahweh, saved them from the land of Egypt, he made them into a people. They were taken out of Egypt and they were given an identity. They received God's law. I am Yahweh, the one who brought you out of Egypt. Therefore, this is how you are to live. But this blessing, it adds to that. This blessing seals that. Their identity as the people of God is directly connected and related to God's identity as Yahweh. They will know who they are now because they are the people who know who God is. He is the I Am. And in this special blessing, God is sealing them as his people. So shall they, that is God's priests, so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel. And this is not just true for the people of Israel, beloved. We also have received the name of the Lord. We could identify ourselves as many things. We are Canadian, we are British Columbians, we are Canadian Reformed. Even though all of these things are true, and they are big parts of our identity, there is something that is far more important. We are God's people. Scripture says God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Yahweh knows those who are his. So no matter where you are right now, at the very end of 2021, Yahweh knows you. Whether you are in the deserts of lament, mourning the brokenness of this world or mourning the brokenness of your life, or if you're on the mountaintops, eagerly anticipating the beginning of this new year, a fresh start, a chance to live with God's face shining upon you. No matter where you are, no matter the state of your heart, the state of your soul, this blessing is for you, because God is for you. God is for you, and he will keep you. He will keep you for the next 365 days, and he will keep you forever. Yahweh would never throw away. Yahweh would never cast out those whom he has worked so hard to bring in. Those redeemed from sin. For so long, we floundered about with no identity. Even those who were born into covenant families marked by God in baptism, we were still told that deep down in our souls that we don't belong. We have that sinful nature in us that whispers lies. That we don't belong. That somehow, someone, somewhere made a mistake and we aren't destined for this Christian life. That we are the black sheep of the covenant family of God. Those born into it but never really part of it. But don't listen to these lies. See them for what they are. They are lies from the devil. So instead, listen to God's blessing. Listen to God's promise to keep you, God's promise of grace, God's claim over your life. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.